starting the sugya on Kufkes in the Chulin. Good? Yeah. So what do we have here? Anyone plug into the wall?
Yeah, do you have a wire handy or in?
Okay, so it's not so simple. If you have a tipas chalav that falls on a piece of meat, right? Rashi, go ahead.
Tipas chalav shenafla achaticha b'tocha kedera al achas min achatichos.
Okay, so you fell onto a piece of meat, which is in a pot. Okay.
Lo higis es a kedera lo nechlak tam hatipa el la osa hatipa bilvad.
And what happened? You didn't mix the pot. And the tam of the tipa did not go anywhere other than that chaticha itself. All right. Exactly what the configuration of the pieces in the pot is a little bit confusing. That's the subject of a big machlokas. Where exactly is this piece? Is it half in, half out? In other words, the pot has pieces of meat in it, right? And what's called rotev, which is basically liquid, huh? Sauce, gravy, whatever it is, some sort of a liquid, right? Now, what's the relevance of the rotev? What's the relevance of rotev here? It's basic, right? Basically, rotev makes it a bishul, right? And by bishul, we say the tam spreads out evenly, right? That's the difference between, let's say, bishul and sli, right? In other words, in terms of machol asuros, iser and heter. You're always concerned with how far is the issa spreading. Right? That's always an important question to investigate. How far does the issa spread? Okay, so basically, in bishul, it's an even complete spreading. Okay, so if I had a pot of liquid, if I had an issa that was cooking in a liquid heter, I would say that the isser is spreading everywhere. Right? Isser spreading, I mean, it makes sense, it's nothing. The isser is spreading everywhere. But if it was just two hot pieces of meat touching each other, that'd be a different story. Okay? More complicated story. But it's a different story. Because there's no medium that's smoothing everything out. There's no medium that's drawing from here and putting over there. Okay?
How do we know that the Mishnah is talking about a case with liquids?
Because of the near part. That's that the Gemara talks about later. But that's the difference of the mixing. That it's spreading it out throughout the whole pot.
So why, what's the first case? If you're saying it's spread out evenly, so if it just falls onto the first that hot piece of meat, why is it not spreading out evenly on its own? Why do you have to mix it when you're putting it?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That is a little bit of a complicated question, but it's a good question. Where, that's what I'm saying. The question is, where is that first piece? Where is that first piece? We can only say right now that the first piece is in a place that is considered independent of the rest of the mixture. Okay. That's the only thing we can say right now. That according to this Mishnah, they're saying that it's possible that the tipas chalav falls onto one piece, okay, and what? And we're going to measure our shishim using only that piece, right? So that piece is not really considered like a part of the full tarovas. Someone has an independent shame from the rest of the Tarovas. So when we say, where did the tipa fall, we don't say it fell into the pot of meat. We say it fell onto this piece of meat. Okay, so our first determination has to be with regard to this piece of meat. Okay, go ahead. Right, so if that piece that it falls on doesn't have on its own 60 times the chalav, so that piece becomes aser. Okay, that's how Rashi is learning.
Lubashachatichos the kedera lo iri tana the masnisin. Gemara pligi ba imposeris osachaticha those sarasan olam.
The way Rashi's learning is just talking about the makom of the tarovis itself. No, it's just talking about the minim that are mixed together. That was the tipa and the chaticha. Tipa scholav shenoflo al chaticha, even though it's in the kedera, the chaticha alone is considered to be interacting with the tipa. So then we have to judge im yesh ba benosein tam ba'osa chaticha, that chaticha will be aser. What about the rest of the pot? According to Rashi, the Mishnah is not discussing the rest of the pot. It's just defining one thing. What's it defining? The scope of the tarovas. What is the tipa mixing with? The tipa is considered to be mixing with the chaticha that it landed on. And that's why you need shishim in the chaticha alone. Right? It was whatever it's considered to be mixing with, that will be part of the shear of shishim. Right? Because you have 60 times the isser. In this case, we can call the cholov like an isser, vis-a-vis the basar. So if you had 60 times the isser, then the isser is batal. But what do you include in your 60? That's the question here. What do you include in the 60? You can't include stuff in another pot. In your 60, right? Only what is considered to be mixed in with. So according to Rashi, that's what the Mishnah is telling you. That the chalav is considered to be mixed with the chaticha that it landed on. So obviously the chaticha is somewhat out of the kedera. Right? Let's say it's in plain shot, the way the other Rishonim learn Rashi is, he means to say that even though the piece is half in and half out, right? You have the rotave. You have the rotave line, right? And then you have a big piece of meat that's sticking out above the pot, above the top. And the milk falls onto that piece. Okay? So that piece, if it doesn't have shishim on its own, becomes aser. What does that do to the rest? We don't know now. Mishnah's not talking about that according to Rashi.
Shishim is just the grammar of
time? Shishim is time, right. That's a good question. I mean,
It still has
stasis. Yeah, it still has stasis also. Definitely. Shishim is like the limit of the tam. I mean, that is also machlokas nushanim. I mean, most shanim hold that if you had a guy that you could trust, you wouldn't need shishim. You could just ask him to taste it. But Rashi happens to hold you always need, you need shishim too. You need both. Okay. But definitely the reason, definitely shishim means tam. Definitely shishim is because the Mishnah doesn't say shishim, Mishnah says tam. Rashi's introducing shishim as a shear of tam. Yeah.
This case about the chatikah.
What's the next case? Go ahead. All right, so what's the next case?
Here is the kedera. Yimish ma benosin tam. That was the kedera. Awesome.
Okay, so you can't read this Mishnah so simply, right? Can't read this Mishnah so simply. Simple way to read the Mishnah is this is the second half of the first case, right? But no, that's not the way Rashi is learning. It's a new case, right? It's a new case going right. In other words, the Mishnah has two primary cases, right? Okay. So this is a new case. Near as a kedera.
Higis ba miyad kodim shekibla hatifa tam in atipa. Hashda nis arva atipa pulon.
Right. So remember when Rashi said before that the chaticha will be aser miyad. So if miyad you menayer, apparently you can miyad has a certain amount of time. So if you mix it miyad before it gets the tam, now what? Hashdan is arvo hatipa bekulan. Now you took that tipa and you mixed it through the whole pot. Then what?
mishpam anusin tam veosa kadera klomar inkwa katipa lesor kulan ela imkain yesh benosin tam visein bepola kadera.
Right. So now it's just defining again that if the tipa fell on a piece, but you immediately mixed up all the pieces, right? So it didn't have a chance yet to become nisarev with one chaticha alone. The minute it hit one chaticha, now you start mixing, right? So now you look at the tipa as being mixed with what? With everything in the pot. So nothing will be asur unless the tipa is big enough to that you don't have 60 against it in the pot. Yeah. So it's just two cases of defining when you're what the tipa is nisarev with. First case, the tipa is nisarev with the chaticha alone. Right. Everything is static, and the chaticha is distinct from the rest of the pot. And therefore the tipa is considered to only be spreading through the chaticha. And in the second case, it never is able to fix itself to one particular entity. The moment it falls in, there's a mixing of the whole pot. So now it's like it fell into everything. So now you need shishim. Now it's only going to be able to answer if you don't have shishim against it, including everything. Yeah, then considered that, in other words, look, this plain pshat is like this. The moment it touches it, it's not in the spashe. That's not possible. That's not logically possible. Because spreading is something that happens through the contact, after the contact. The tipa has to land on the chaticha and then spread through, right? So Rashi's saying that as long as you mix it the moment it touches, then what it's nespashed into is the whole tarogas. Right? In other words, just because it hit the chaticha, but it hasn't started the process of spreading, so if you immediately incorporate everything together, then the process that comes after the contact is going to be done to the entire tarogas. Right? Okay.
Okay.
All right, so really the Gemara starts off on a totally different topic. Go ahead.
I'm a rabbi. I'm a Loma Mashal.
Revisiting an old friend here.
I'm a Loma Mashal, but I'm a Doraisa.
So it's funny, there's certain things that the Gemara is like always looking for ways to prove, right? Like what? Like Mrs. Shichas Gavan. I was always looking for a way to prove it. Tom Kicker is one of those things. So Abaye says, I've got it. We can prove from here, Taimo v'loma moshel ba'alma d'oraisa. Right? Go ahead. Let's see Rashi.
You should not know Tom the Heter. Apple Pisha in Oko Mamish. You don't see the Kaiser. The Incon Ella Time with the Rice.
Ah, okay, that was a good question. How are we translating what you're reading? Go ahead. No, I mean, go ahead and translate it. I'm sorry. Huh? Translate it.
Okay.
Carefully. Let's see.
In the Heter.
Right, so what is Time of Luma Moshe Ba'alma? So Rashi says, that in general we say by any Isser, right? By any Isser. Nevela, whatever, any Isser you pick. That when it gives Tom into Heter, right? It only gives Tom into Heter. Go ahead, and what?
Even though.
Okay. Anyway, so he says, when it gives Tom, even though there's no Mamish, right? So what does it mean? How does it mean there's Tom and no Mamish? Go ahead.
Like when you took out the Isser, and there is nothing else but Tom,
Deraisa. So in other words, we all know, we're actually saying, look, we all know something is true. It's Dabar Pashut. If you had a Cheftza of Isser, you had a Chaticha Shel Isser, you had a piece of Chazer, and it fell into your pot, right? and then you pulled it out. So what do you have in the pot? All you have is Tom, right? Now, we all know that that it's usher, right? We all know that it's usher. But why is it usher? So now we can see that it's usher midraisa. Right? You can prove from here that it's usher and isser midraisa. He's not questioning that it's usher. Of course it's usher. But he wasn't sure if it's nisr midraisa or nisr rabbanan. Right? Because it's just taimo. It's just the tam of the thing, not any mamish. So when you have the tam of the isser, but not the substance of the isser, yeah. What does it mean you don't have the substance of the isser? I mean, it's tam. What is tam? Isn't that little pieces of substance? Or is it like a separate thing?
I thought that mamish means sheer, the correct sheer, because I think that's what it's Rashi.
Yeah, Rashi's not really clear, but okay. Go ahead.
The Gamrina and Basta Rechala, the Asir Rahmana Ba'afila.
Milos of Asha Shlosh Pamim. Shlosh Pamim and Batorah. How do you know that you can't eat Basta Rechala? Because it says, Los of Asha three times. Right? So we know that there's Nisan Daraisa to eat Basta Rechala. So what has it help us? And even though when you take one from the other, he doesn't care which one, right? Separate them from each other. So what is left of the other, Tom? What's left of the other is Tom? So we should learn from there to all other Yisurim, the Mematzinu, as a paradigm. That what? It's a paradigm for what?
Noticing Tom is Nisr D'Oraisa.
That Tom is Nisr D'Oraisa. Right, let's take the milk. Let's just take the milk. So the milk, you have the milk in the pot, cooking away, and the meat falls into the pot, right? And next to it, you have a pot of porridge cooking. And the veil falls into the pot, right? So he's saying, just like when I pull the meat out of the milk, and all I'm left with is the tam of the basar, I can't eat that milk. Midoraisa. So too, when I've pulled in the veil out of the porridge, and all that's left is tam of the nevela, that's also in this midoraisa. Right? That's his argument. That's his comparison. Yeah.
And no gamrina.
Okay, so he says, this is a little bit of a complex argument. He's like this. Time of lomosho ba'alma d'raisa. I'm going to prove to you that time of lomosho. Rashi is not exactly totally clear on defining time of lomosho. He's just giving you like a case. That if Isser falls in and you pull it out, that's certainly time of lomosho. But he's not really giving you a definition of time of Olam Mashal, right? He's just giving you like an example of time of Olam Mashal. So he's saying that I'll show you that that case of time of Olam Mashal is Nisr D'Oraisa because you should learn it from Basar B'Cholav. Okay, now exactly how does Rashi know and how do we know that Basar B'Cholav is Asr B'Nesinas Tam? It's Vaday Asr B'Nesinas Tam. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay, so go ahead. Because if you're going to say not to learn it from Basar B'Cholav, the Sogadech, the Rabbanon, Rashi.
The whole Shar Isurin, time of the Rabbanon, the Lokam Rinalum, Basar B'Cholav.
So if you're going to say we don't learn it from Basar B'Cholav, it's a reductio ad absurdum argument here. If you're going to say, right, it's a certain formula, a certain style of a proof. I'll prove to you that this is right, because if you assume anything else, you're going to wind up in a crazy, with a crazy conclusion. Right? You're going to wind up with a crazy conclusion. Right?
Okay.
So now, why would you not learn from Basar B'Cholov? Why would you not? Interesting. Why would you not learn from Basar B'Cholov? Right? Why would you not learn from Basar B'Cholov? Because apparently the Gemara is saying the method should be that wherever you find a principle in one place, you should naturally apply it with a memotzinu. Right? So you have to have a reason to say why you don't apply it. Okay? This is what First was just calling me about the other day. Memotzinu. So you should naturally apply it. Unless you can prove what? Unless you can prove that what? Why? But the general assumption is it should be applicable. Unless you can prove that it's a particular of this mitzvah. Right? We look for the universal. That's the memotzinu. Like he was asking the case of shava kesef iska kesef. If you see in one case, Torah demands kesef in a certain kinyan, and then says the shava kesef is good. So you should learn to all other cases where kesef is needed that shava kesef is good. Why? Because it's a transaction. Torah is telling you a transaction of kesef could be done with the shava kesef. That's a memotzinu. Unless you could show me that case is a very special case, why they allowed the shava kesef. For some particular reason. Like by Eved Ivri, Tosa says, you might say they allowed shava kesef because there's an urgency to get the guy out of the hands of the goyim. Meaning to say it's part of the mitzvah of hatzolas. It's a part of the mitzvah of hatzolas. It's not really a din in kinyan. But if it's just purely presented as a kinyan, and there's nothing in that inyan that makes it special to the part of the mitzvah itself, then we should extrapolate to all of the cases, right? So here too, we should say that what? Torah says don't eat basar and chalav that were cooked together. And yet, if I have only the tam of the chalav, it's asr. So what does that mean? It means when the Torah tells me not to eat something, it means its time is the same thing. Right? That's the formulation that we're trying to get to. Right? So now why would I not do that? I would say because this is a chiddush. What's the chiddush? This is where trouble starts.
Rashi, my time, Loker Mina Mine, Yishum the Kedushu, Yishneim Min Hetris, Zelabado.
So Rashi says, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that they're both types of heter, milk and meat. Nothing wrong with milk or meat. But when they mix, it's a volatile combination. When they mix, ne'esru, they become usher. Right? Go ahead. And if that's not enough,
their official ne'esru, the lo'achila.
Yeah, and furthermore, derech bishul ne'esru b'lo achila. What does he mean by that? Derech bishul ne'esru. What does he mean by that?
You can't even cook it.
It means an isra to cook it. Look at Pesachim, he explains it more clearly. He means there's an isra on cooking it. It's a funny lashon to use, ne'esru. But he means that not only that, but there's just an issue to cook it.
There's an issue to cook milk and meat together and extend it.
Even if you don't eat it. Even if you don't eat it. Right? Hilkach lo gamrin chumra minayu. So he mentions two chumras. One chumra is what? That's Isser and Heter. And when they mix together, they're Asser. I mean, it's Heter and Heter. When they mix together, they're Asser. And the other one is... there's an Isser on Bishul. So you don't have this anywhere else. Okay. The problem that everybody picks up on is that the first one is not really a Chiddush. Right? Because the Gemara Pesachim already went through that. The Gemara Pesachim already said that the first one is not a Chiddush because it's Kilayim is the same thing. And Rashi himself says that in a moment. So what does he mean? What does he mean? Why is he making a point out of the two min heter? You should just stick with the bishul thing, right? That's the whole Gemara is only talking about the bishul. It's all that comes up. Right? Go ahead. So now the Baha'i is continuing his argument. So if you're going to tell me you can't learn from it because it's a chiddush, meaning there's something unique about this mitzvah in general, and this is all part of its uniqueness, and you can't universalize from a singular case, a case that has no comparison to anything else, everything in it is particular. Right? In order to universalize, you have to say there's a general and a particular. So then, what? So what are you going to say? I'm sorry. E chiddushu. Oh, so if it's really a chiddush though, then what do you even need tam for? You want a chiddush? I'll give you a chiddush, even without tam. So it must be that it's not a chiddush. Right, that's the Baha'i's argument. Must be it's not a chiddush. I'll see Rashi.
I chiddushu. Amai katani masnizin. The Baha'i time below notin tam.
Nami osir. See, Jonah, that's what I was saying before. That if you're going to say it's a chiddush, you can't say that it's only the Rabbanon. Because today's only the Rabbanon, that means to say that the Daraisa should be without tam. That's the way Baha'i is learning. Right. If you're going to say that this Nesinus Tam is just like a Derabbanon, but it's a Derabbanon Lekula. Because the Mishnah is saying without Tam is Mutter. But he's saying if you're really going to go down the Chiddush road, you should say that even no Tam is Aser. So what do you see from that? That even though there's no time, we still say it's present. Right? Just because there's no time doesn't mean that there's nothing there. This is critical. This is a critical thing to recognize, okay? In other words, What's the Gemara discussing here? The Gemara is discussing the question of tam ki'ikr. Right? That's a bias whole point. Is there tam ki'ikr or is there no tam ki'ikr? Now, what does it mean, tam ki'ikr? And what would it mean if there was no tam ki'ikr? Okay, we have to be careful about what we choose over here. Okay? So I'll tell you the wrong thing to say. Right? It would be wrong to say that if we don't hold, it would be wrong to say that if you don't hold from tam ki'ikr, then the tam of the thing is simply nothing, according to the Torah. Right? Nope, more than that. That it's kamisha eno. Okay. It's wrong to say that if there's no tam ki'ikr in the Torah, then it means the Torah simply does not recognize the existence of tam. And when the Torah says don't eat chazer, don't eat nevela, it means don't eat any nevela, but tam is just a nothing. Tam is like a nothing. It's a zero. There's no nevela in the tam. There's zero. How much nevela is there? Zero. Right? Because, as opposed to saying the tam of the thing is some nevela, of course. Of course there's some nevela. But it's maybe you'll call it a derivative of nevela, you'll call it a minuscule amount of nevela, you call it something else, but only the mamish of nevela is awesome. Listen, let me make it simpler. It's a mistake to learn, I think. I think it's going to be it'll be a mistake to learn what's the chakira of tam ki'ikar. Okay. It's a mistake to learn the question is, does tam exist in the eyes of Torah or not? Rather, the question is, we all know tam exists. And we all know tam is a small chelik of the nevela. But is that us or not? Okay? Now why am I saying this way over the other way? Because Rashi is now proceeding to tell you, even if in the Torah tam ki'ikar is nothing, you can't deny that by Basa B'cholav, even if there was less than tam, it would be asur. Because there still is some basar and cholav. Yeah, but if the whole point is, if the whole question is, does the Torah recognize the existence of something as a tam or not, then how do you say how can you say in all the Torah we consider this a nothing and now we consider it a something? Can't be that in one halacha we consider it existent and another halacha we consider it non-existent. You can say in one halacha it's usher and in general it's not, but it doesn't seem logical to say that it's a question of which entities the Torah regards as real, right? And you'll say in general we consider the tam like it doesn't exist, and over here Abai is making an argument that even a kol shu exists. Are usher, correct. It's not a question of which entities exist, it's a question of when the Torah says don't eat nevela, does it also include its tam? It's a question of the formulation of the Yisurim of the Torah, not a question of the entities, of the existence of entities. You understand? So, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Do you mean whether, when you say the existence of entities, do you mean whether halakha, whether there's a halakhic thing of tam that exists?
Yeah. Whether there's a halachic thing of tam that exists, and halachically it's considered a chelik of the nevela.
And the other side is to say that
tam
is so you can say it doesn't exist at all by these other places, or it does exist, but
it's not included in the Isra Achila. Isra Achila's nevela does not include tam shel nevela. As opposed to saying, when tam comes off of a nevela, do we consider it something completely different from nevela? Do we consider it vis-a-vis nevela, nothing is here? I think you have to say that there's no question that there's something here. That's just a question. That's just metzius. The only question is the form of tam included in the isser of nevela itself, or not? Now, why am I saying that? Because Rashi is saying this: ichidishu, right? Ichidishu, amai ketani masnisin deboi taima below no sin tam nami aser. Da chidusha chadish beirachmana. So Rashi saying, if you hold there's no chiddush, if you hold there's a chiddush, meaning to say everywhere else in the Torah we don't have tam ki'ikar, right? He's saying, but over here, even less than tam should be asur.
Why?
Because that's the chiddush.
No, but tam ki'ikar is the chiddush by Basa B'chalav, because we don't say it in the rest of the Torah, so why can't the chiddush just be tam ki'ikar? Why does it
don't make
the same way? What does chiddush mean that you're going to say...
Huh? You hit with him or against him?
I'm with him.
Oh, you're with
you
him.
You don't make the chiddush bigger.
And go to that side.
You don't have to.
But the chiddush is tam ki'ikar. And we're so according to... If you don't hold like Abai, you're going to say tam ki'ikar is by Basa B'chalav.
That's not Abai's argument. You're distorting Abai's argument.
I'm saying against Abai. You would say that tam ki'ikar is a chiddush, and then therefore only by Basa B'chalav do you say tam ki'ikar, but nowhere else. You don't have the right to say it by Meratinu. What's Abai's response to that? No, if it's really a chiddush, then you should say even more than tam ki'ikar. Why would you say more than tam ki'ikar? It's a chiddush.
Because you have a prejudice.
Against?
Little things.
No, I don't understand. Why would you say more? What's pushing you to say more?
Because you have a prejudice in favor of Tom. No, the Baya's argument is, if you're going to say there's nothing other, if you're going to say in all of the Torah we only deem the Cheftza, the Mamish of the Nevela as the Isser, right? So then there's only two categories. There's only two things to talk about. There's the Mamish of the Isser, which is that which is included in the shame of the Isser Nevela, right? And then there's just minuscule excretions of the Isser. Right? But why do you have a preference to Tom? Why do you prefer the derivatives of the Mamish that are sensed by you? Ah, now I get down to the prejudice. Why do you deem those more important than the smaller ones? Abaye is saying, if you're going to tell me that there's a chiddush here, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that even though the cheftza that we recognize, even though the cheftza of the basar is not present, or the cheftza of the cholav b'toras machalas asuros is not present, so then the chiddush is that even derivatives of the cheftza are asur by basar b'cholav. So derivatives go all the way from Mamish down to Kol Shehu. Why do you draw an arbitrary line at time at Tom? What, less than Tom is something is not qualitatively different than more than Tom? You understand? If you're going to make a break in Halacha and say that in terms of Machos Asuros we only recognize the Mamish, and you keep in mind what I said before, that that doesn't mean that the other things have no existence. So then all you have is Mamish and all other existences. Now Tom is just an arbitrary point on the line from Mamish down to zero existence. Why should Basar B'Cholav arbitrarily fix itself on the line of Tom? That would make sense if it wants to say don't have meat and milk together and Tom is the same as meat or milk, that would make sense. But if it's just a chiddush, don't mix any of the milk with any of the meat, why should Tom be the important factor? That's Abaye's argument.